Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Greg Hall's True Reporting on Gulf Coast Conditions show. I see that we don't have that many listeners right now. We kind of got a little a little hectic today. Emily, as you can tell, this is not Emily, this is Alyssa. Emily is not going to be hosting the show today. It will be me. My name is Alyssa Martinez. I'm usually Emily's co-host, and it'll be just me this evening so far. We've got a few things to talk about today. It's been a little hectic. There's been a number of reports coming out about over 300 people being sick in Louisiana, and another over 150 being sick from oil-related problems and complications. So, you know, I have screamed as many times as possible about this. I have tried to warn people about the hazards and dangers of cleaning oil. Now, we can scream all you want to. We can sit here and talk about, you know, and it's important to talk about everything that's going on with the physical implications of the spill. And then you hear something that just kind of stops you. Project Gulf Impact just uploaded a new video today about a cleanup worker who was talking about his experience and his while working for BP. Now, you know, recently they've let go tons of employees because, you know, they just can't find the oil. It's just magically disappeared. It's not true. It's just being buried. They interviewed this man, and he sat there and he was talking about the cleaning up the shoreline. He was on the shoreline crew. And let me give you a quote from him that pretty much sums up their cleanup efforts and how the people were told to get to the beach. Man, it's raining buckets. Grab your buckets. And if that's exactly the entire motivation. It was pure money for the supervisors, the contractors, and we all know that. That's not really a surprise. But to give you a clue, that's all they worried about. The cleanup workers, if you guys remember, at the beginning there was a lot of hazmat training questions, a lot of things of that nature, and people were wondering, what can we do to become a cleanup worker? Do we need to be trained? Do we have to get hazmat certified, OSHA certified, whatever? And you know, they said, yeah, of course. You know, you're going to go through your training process, and then you'll be okay to get onto the show. Or I'm sorry, to get onto the beach to clean up. Now, keep in mind that when that happened, they were told that, yeah, you'll take this hazmat course, you'll be hazmat certified, and then you can get your certificate and go on cleaning the shoreline for, you know, go about your work. Sorry for the stuttering here, just got a little distracted. Well, here's the problem. The training that they did was not the 40-hour OSHA certified hazmat cleanup, shoreline cleanup course. Okay, what they did was they took a refresher course, which is a 10-hour course. So let's say if you held a hazmat 40-hour certificate, to go back and do a 10-hour refresher if you're out of date. Kind of like when you have a nursing license, you got to go back and take the test and keep your things accurate and up to date. Well, they didn't quite do the proper testing for the cleanup workers. They didn't give them all the information. It was pretty much a joke. This gentleman told me he had moved from Louisiana to Mississippi, so he was a part of the Louisiana training area, and he ended up working in Mississippi. Now, during the course, you go through, I think it's like a day and then another day, and then you take a test at the end of the second day. During the end of the second day, this gentleman said that, you know, they were watching people from Louisiana and whatever pretty closely to make sure nobody was cheating. But in turn, and actually in fact, what actually happened was they were watching people from Louisiana, but they were giving people from Mississippi the answers. Okay? It means they didn't have to pay attention. It means they didn't know anything about the proper way to handle toxic chemicals. You know, to me, that is just astounding. I mean, we all know that these people are doing whatever the hell they want to do. They're going to sit there and they're gonna pay off whoever, scientist, you know, it doesn't matter who, or they're gonna use people to their advantage. And this gentleman pretty much said that they're using the lower class, the poor, the low income family, the low income people to take care and clean up the problem, and they were not being taught about the protection equipment properly or the hazards. They were saying that the oil was safe, but once it goes into the bag, you know, that's when it gets bad because, you know, all the vapors come out. Okay, they were telling these people that the oil was safe, oil was fine, that there was nothing wrong with it, that there was nothing wrong with the dispersants. This is what they're telling their cleanup workers. This is not just what they're telling the general public. It's what they're telling everybody that's cleaning up the shoreline, the skimmers, the people that are working the boom. This is what they've told all of them. If they're going to tell the cleanup people that this, they're also going to tell the people that are working the shoreline, working the boats and the skimmers this too. It was also, he said that they were all starting to get flu-like symptoms, coughing, wheezing. We've heard about this before. And here's the really big problem. He said he would go out to work, you know, it was hot. He worked for 2 hours, take a 20-minute break, of course, every hour, and then call it a day. Well, guess what? On his paycheck says he works 8 hours that day. Not two, eight. So they were getting paid for 6 hours more than they were actually working. Surprise, surprise. Not only that, this is not the first time I've heard this. I've actually gotten a phone call personally about this from somebody who will remain anonymous because of her current employment status. She told me that she was a kind of a certified safety or supervisor of a cleanup crew. Well, when she went to Unified Command and Coast Guard to give them their documentation, their paperwork about everything, certificates. Well, pretty much nobody had a hazmat certificate in her cleanup crew, but according to her boss, they did. And so she had to file that because of her boss. Her boss kind of threatened her, you'll get fired if you don't. Not only that, but if they did have the certificates, they were out of date, old, wrong type of training class. They weren't being properly trained. And not only that, it was obvious to me that there was something wrong because she said she had worked in long days, long hours. They're getting all these breaks, but they're violating labor laws in the process. So we don't only have a toxic problem. We have a labor problem as well. And I got to say, you know, those people that are out there cleaning, I feel sorry for those people that weren't being taught. They weren't being taught about what these chemicals do. They weren't being able to learn about the dispersant. They weren't being taught anything. They were just saying, pick it up, put your gloves, put it in the bag, see you later. They weren't actually being taught of the dangers or the problems with it. You know, that's just wow. We also have a little bit of weather news today. The tropical, well, this big thunderstorm in the Gulf is now not a tropical depression anymore. It dissipated at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time today. So thank goodness for that. However, this is when we have to keep an eye out. This is the busy season. This is the bad part of town. This is the bad part of time for the season. There's a couple of disorganized showers. There's really not that much happening in the Atlantic. There's a couple of areas. 20% is one area of low pressure, and another is 10% for tropical cyclones. So we've been pretty lucky, considering that they've always said that this is going to be a high hurricane season, we've been all right. If you have gone to Greg's page lately, you will have seen pictures that he posted today about his walk last night. Now, Greg's a little busy with some people currently. So if you look at these pictures and look at them, what he posted, you see a brand new machine. Oh, this is the Sand Shark. It's going to clean up all the soil. That's what they're calling it. And it's supposed to filter the tar balls out, put them in the dump in the top, and then let the clean sand out in the back. Okay, here's the problem with that. That doesn't work, especially when you have the oil broken down into micro parts. Okay, that's not an effective way of cleaning up a toxic sand. We'll just filter it. It'll be fine, right? It'll be okay. The other issue with that machine is that not only will it do that, but it'll also effectively any other sand, it only cleans 18 inches below the surface, and we all know that the sand's been covered in much deeper than that, much, much deeper than that. It actually covers it up even more. So what ends up happening is they're unveiling this equipment, and it's great. It's heavy equipment. Oh, looks like BP is actually doing something. Yeah, they're actually covering up their evidence. We have known that this has been sand. Yet again, Greg found a huge tar mat. There was some erosion at the tide line today, or the shoreline, the water ledge. And when he dug down by the erosion line and where the water was coming ashore and washing away some of the older sand, and you could see this huge tar mat that he just picked up out of the sand with a shovel. And it wasn't like a foot or 2 feet deep. It was relatively close. What's going to end up happening is as this progresses, as this continues, as this goes on, you will see that the tide line and the waters will start, you know, these islands shift. They're barrier islands, right? They're not like solid mountainous or volcanic islands where they don't move. Barrier islands are built out of sand. Sand has a tendency to shift over a period of time. Pensacola actually spent lots of money dredging sand, whether you believe in that or not, you know, whatever, but they spent a lot of money extending the shoreline out after Ivan, and because the natural effects of things there is for the tide to take some of the sand away over a period of time. We'll actually start seeing more tar mats being coming up on the surface closer to shore. Farther inland on the beach, you'll actually see them getting covered up even more. So what will end up happening is they'll just keep getting buried, 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 and buried, and it'll remain there forever. There really is, if you look at the situation, what they've done by covering up all the sand, covering up the oil with all the sand, covering up everything, is they've actually made it totally ineffective, just like what this person did with the oil. Instead of keeping it on the surface and cleaning it up, they've sunk the oil in the sand, so to speak, by covering it up, by just putting tons of sand on it. This leads to a big problem. Beaches are more inhabited by humans, you know, than they are in open water and water columns and 5,000 feet depths and all that crazy stuff. This will continue to be an issue for now, years and years and years and years and years to come, because of the fact that they've used it to cover up even more oil. Now, I know there was some questions about seafood safety and dispersant and all that kind of stuff. Ricky Ott just posted a new article on Huffington Post, and she just posted it relatively new here, so I haven't had time to read it. You know, we've all heard, oh, seafood's fine, the seafood's safe, president's going to come down for vacation in Panama City this weekend, oh, everything's going to be just dandy. The issue is that it isn't. People are getting sick. People will continue to get sick. And it's not just going to be from exposure, from breathing it in or touching it or whatever, being in the water. It'll be from eating it. So somebody actually asked a really great question. What's going to happen to the fisherman that sells the tainted fish to the warehouse, and the warehouse sells that to Arkansas or Tennessee or Missouri or wherever else it goes, wherever Gulf seafood goes? What happens when that customer gets sick and gets very sick from eating tainted fish? They could sue the fisherman. hypothetically speaking, they could technically sue the fishermen for selling a tainted fish. All of these things that are happening right now, it's just getting worse. There hasn't really been ever been a time during this crisis that I've said, okay, it'll be fine. It'll be okay. We don't have to worry about anything. That's not the case. That is not the case at all. Sorry, my computer seems to be glitching for some reason. I know it's just me. I'm sorry. I see the people are tuning in and leaving. It's been a little hectic today. Greg's been out with the documentary team today. Emily has been doing her thing, and so she's been busy, so it's just been me. I see, Heidi, that you're on the phone, and I see that your hand's not raised, so I'll get to you in a minute. There are so many things to cover, and something that Emily and I talked about today was, where do you start? Where do you start helping these people? I mean, if it's not just sharing the information, how do you start really helping these people? How do you start really trying to do something effectively, generously, and quickly? What issue are you going to pick? Is it going to be the human health, environmental health? Is it going to be genetic problems? Is it going to be foreclosure issues? Is it going to be relocation? Is it going to be, what are you going to pick? Which one? Water safety? Or, seafood safety? We can keep going. And I encourage everybody that if you've ever have any specific need, immediate need, please don't ever hesitate to contact, whether it's me or Emily or Greg, or, and I know Kendra gets a million emails, and she's got some really good help from the, she's now teamed up and has a team of the Coastal Heritage Society in Louisiana, chslouisiana.org, I believe, and they're doing some good things. It's just getting to the point now, if you guys need help, please let us know, because they're, as this continues, people are starting to believe that, out of sight, out of mind. This isn't going to be out of sight, out of mind for decades. And I don't know where media is saying, oh, everything's going to be fine. Now they shut down the relief well, by the way. They stopped drilling the relief well. They abandoned ship all again because of the tropical depression. Oh, no. Heaven forbid, a big thunderstorm comes and blows my rig away. What it really is just a big excuse to delay efforts, or for whatever reason, and find a way that they can use the relief well for future drilling. Now, we have yet to hear, we were promised in the beginning, of course, that the relief well wouldn't be used for production, for gaining oil and getting oil and all that kind of stuff. We are finding out that there is no plan to cement the relief well as of now. I've been hearing things about there's well A and there's well B, but what happened to well B? All we keep hearing about is this one single well. Is this one leaking? Is that one leaking? Where are all the seeps? And if you go to floridaoilspilllaw.com, there are a lot of information about that. There's tons of information about that. But they show a footage, a video, where there's this yellow pipe that I've never seen before. And the yellow pipe actually starts leaking brown crude. You can see it very evidently. It's not like they're trying to hide it. It's not like, that they can say that this isn't this or that or the other. It's very obvious that it's exactly leaking that. What I don't understand is how they can get away, and I'm sorry, I'm a little all over the place this evening, kind of lost my bearings at the beginning, how they can say, well, we've got well A and well B, and we're doing this to this well and this, that, and the other, but it'll be fine. Everything's going to be okay. Today, I read something about the relief wells yet again. surprise, surprise, they don't know the state of something called the annulus, which is a seal, like a rubber seal or a case, part of the casing where they it prevents the oil from coming out. Now, annulus is think of it like an O-ring, a rubber O-ring that you put like in hose or whatever to prevent the water from leaking. Now, the problem with that is that they don't know the state of the annulus. They don't know where the oil is going or the cement going for that. They don't know where anything's going. So they're pumping down all this stuff into that well, into the well hole and the reservoir, et cetera. They don't know what the state of the rubber stoppage point or safety seal, if you want to call it that. They don't have any clue. And they've never known that from the beginning, and everybody said that. But just now, is it 113, 114 days today? Give me a break. You guys should know this stuff. So, well, we really won't know what we'll find when we intersect the well. You mean all the technology, all any kind of technology that you have. You can't figure out what's happening down there? So how are we to believe that, oh, no oil is escaping when they can't certify and verify that the annulus, the seal, isn't unequivocally okay? On NOAA, there was, let me pull it up real quick. They said today there was an interesting article or interesting post by a friend of mine who said that NOAA knows that over half hasn't been cleaned up. Okay? We all know that what they're telling us is a bunch of crap, and they know that and whatever, but inside, this is a NOAA email to a NOAA email. This is between two personnel. It stated that somebody was concerned about the oil at the bottom. They don't want BP to run it out, and this was reported to the NOAA contact, and the NOAA contact contacted her boss. And in that email, it said that over majority of the oil has not been picked up. Oh, wait a minute. You just told me yesterday that everything's been fine. Picked up 75% of the oil. Everything's going to be A-okay. But now in an internal email, we're finding out that they know that good and well that 75 to probably 80% of the oil still remains out there. Now, the reason why I'm giving them a 20% of capture is because they did burn a lot of the oil. They did skim. They did do stuff. I'm not saying that they haven't done anything, period, but what they have done has been futile. This stuff is going to continue to be prevalent in our waters, and they're opening up the shrimping season in Louisiana this weekend. And the relief well still isn't done. It's still leaking. There's still areas and cracks and seals and problems all around the well that's never going to go away. That's not going to be, unless the relief well can do the bottom kill and the cement actually works and gets into those crevices, it's going to leak forever. It's not going to stop leaking, period. You know, that's my opinion. That might not be Greg's opinion or Emily's opinion or whoever else. That's my personal opinion. So, you know, everything that's starting to come out now, everything that's is getting played out by whether it's from NOAA or the EPA, which is, oh, by the way, ask your questions tomorrow. I'm sure you can just Google EPA questionnaire tomorrow and you'll find it. You can ask her any question you want. But she probably won't answer it. And you know, the government, all these things that they're hounding scientists, they're hounding these oceanographers, they're hounding all these people, and what's ended up happening is they're trying to silence science. And one of Obama's big things is let's put science first. What I don't understand is if that's true, then how the hell are we in the situation that we're in now, where people have hard evidence, total solid, without fail evidence about that there's underwater plumes, that the chemical dispersant and the oil is so toxic that that you've totally screwed up the Gulf forever. And all these things are happening, that the oil is just sunk, it's not gone away. We have all this evidence, and every single time it takes them like 60 days, 30 days longer than the rest of the grassroots organizations to figure this out. Now, you keep that in mind, that everything's happening like this for a reason. Keep in mind there are primaries and elections in November. And I really could give a hoot less who wins where. I don't care about what's happening in Nevada or all with those crazy people. I don't. I just, it's funny, but I really don't give 2 cents, really. They don't want to lose the election. They don't want to lose the House. They don't lose the Senate for whatever reason. I understand that Democratic president, he wants a Democratic Senate and Democratic House of Representatives. Okay, fine. But in the process, don't sit here and don't poison these people by not telling your cleanup workers that they're not getting the proper equipment and protection, et cetera, by not doing the things that you need to do to keep at the level you need to be kept at of safety, whether it's with engineering, whether it's with health issues, whether it's with, you know, any heat-related problem. At any of this, at any point, there's labor, there's been every single issue around this disaster, there's been a problem. And it hasn't been just a minor one, it's been a significant one. We don't know what's happening at the bottom of the ocean right now. The feeds have been looped, and if they haven't been looped, they've been shut off. There's been other video of seepage leaking, and it pixelating into a totally clear picture. How are we going to believe that what we see now? That was the one thing. If you guys have any questions, please let me know. I'm kind of at a loss today, so sorry for the spazzy, lack of information-y kind of stuff. I'm trying, I swear. Now, there's been some other things that's happened as of lately that I've been a little concerned about with is the amount of violence that I've seen rise in Pensacola. I bet you didn't think I was going to say that one now, did I? In Pensacola, in the past couple of days, there's been homicides. There's been suicides and car accidents and all these things that are happening, and we were warned about this. We all expected this to happen with the violence there was a few things. It was going to be depression, domestic abuse, and violence increase in the affected areas and over a period of like 3 to 5 years is what we originally thought. Come to find out, that's happening a lot quicker. On August 4th, there was a bomb threat in the Pensacola Judicial Building. Okay, it was nothing came to it, but just to give you a clue. There was today, sorry, I'm scrolling through the information here. There was today it was Friday night, there was a shooting in Escambia County. There was a hit-and-run driver that killed somebody on Olive Road a couple of days ago. There was another person killed in Fairfield Drive in Escambia County. You know, all these things that are happening are related. These are all connected. Everything's connected, nothing's a coincidence, right? And that Greg says that. You know, I'm very rapidly believing that. So the state of mind and the state of the area, if you see violence and you see these issues coming up, you see all these problems, you see all these suicide or homicides and all that stuff, you're going to have issues. All right. Well, lucky for me, Greg's on the line.
Hey, I'm so sorry.
It's all right, bro.
You know, I got home from Louisiana and Mississippi yesterday. I took a shower, and 15 minutes later got a call from these guys that came up from South Florida. They're doing a documentary that wanted me to take them out. We were out till 1 o'clock this morning, back up at 7. We were out till like 3 o'clock this afternoon. And, I mean, we got tons of pictures and videos and great stuff, you know. But these guys are, you know, they're very connected to people that can help us get the word out. You know, one of the guys works with Guy Harvey and Costa Del Mar. I mean, very well known for doing, like, underwater marine photography and videography and stuff like that. the other guys are documentarists, and one of the other guys has been working in the action sports industry for years. So it's been really great to have them here and have other people with me documenting what's happening, what's going on, so that we have other people besides myself. I mean, they've posted some of the pictures and videos on their own pages. It's just, it's so encouraging to me to have, you know, have people here that have my back, you know. And like last night, whenever the BP supervisors came rolling up on, you know, one of those gators, and, you know, we're kind of like trying to act all intimidating and everything. And I was like, you know, the guy rolls up and he's like really smart aleck, you know, and he's like, what are you looking for? Find anything? You know?
Wow.
And I was like, yeah. I said, there's oil everywhere. We've walked like 5 miles. We've been walking for 5 hours, and yeah, there's oil everywhere. And they're like eyeballing us, you know. I'm like, this one guy's like looking everybody up and down, like trying to be all intimidating and everything. And, you know, I'm like, dude, this is my island. I grew up here. You know, I grew here, you flew here, you know.
Right.
I'm over it. And I turned my back and walked away from them, and they just kept staring us down when we walked away, you know. I'm like, whatever.
Did they tell you to leave, or did they tell you to get off the beach, or threaten with any other action than just talking bad to you guys? I mean,
they were ticked off because we got all up in their machinery. You saw those pictures?
I saw the one. There was one of, it was the, I talked about it at the beginning of the show, there was one of the fan shark or whatever it's called, where it, like, filters through the fan and picks up tar balls or whatever.
Yeah, and it leaves tar balls.
It's like you
follow through the tracks of this so-called beet sifter, and there's tar balls all in it the whole way behind it, you know? And then there's, like, you know, probably 20 pounds of tar balls in those receptacles inside of them, you know? And we've got the videos that we're working on right now. They shot everything in HD, and it's taken a long time to convert. But in the next couple of days, I'll have the videos from last night and the videos from today that they shot, you know, and I'm in the process of uploading the videos and pictures that I uploaded, you know, from my iPhone. But we got some incredible footage. I mean, we got a BP worker that was working out there last night that's admitting on audio that his supervisors are telling him to only go down a couple of inches. And he said, but man, if you go down a few inches more, it's everywhere.
Yeah,
we got it on audio.
Project Gulf posted a video today. See, the worker said that today.
You know, I've got videos where I'm dragging a shovel for like 50, 60 feet, you know, and it's like just nothing but oil. I mean, it's insane. I mean, we've got people that are on national TV, on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, everything else, saying how the beaches are clean, and we walked for 5 hours last night and saw tar balls with every step. You know, we were out in Fort Pickens today, and it's everywhere. And, you know, we've got people reporting fish kills, you know, from here to Texas, and they're more concerned with talking about some fluff stuff, you know, some celebrity crap or somebody slapping somebody on an airplane. You know, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and something I want to ask you, Greg, is that machine, it seems like it's going to just dump more sand onto the problem than it is actually going to pick it up. So it's just going
That's all it's doing. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they're doing the same thing on the beach that they're doing in the water, you know. They're sinking it down where you can't see it, and that's what, you know, that's their whole thing. It's like, you know, okay, well, if we fly the government guys over the Gulf and they can't see anything, then obviously it's not there anymore, you know. And I got another message from a friend of mine about an hour ago, and he was offshore on a BP boat, and they were doing floor samples in the Gulf 4 miles south of the Pensacola Pass, and one solid foot of just oil. 4 miles south of the Pensacola Pass, on the bottom, just solid oil.
Holy wow.
Now, why, I mean, I have no no backing. I have no support. I have no money. I don't have helicopters. I don't have airplanes. I don't have boats. I'm walking on the beach with a shovel, and I can find this out, and our government can't?
Yeah.
There's something wrong with this picture, you know? I mean, you know, they have millions and millions of dollars assigned to this. You know, I have people that I've connected with that are telling me things. I'm walking on the beach by myself with a shovel, and some guys follow me with the cameras, and we can find it, but they can't.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, you know, it's because they don't want to. You know, they don't want to. 80% of the military fuel supply comes from BP. So
I mean, I'm
sorry
that, you know, I sound so angry tonight, but I am incredibly angry, you know, because I'm sleeping 3 or 4 hours a night. I'm traveling the coast from here to Louisiana, you know, and I can find it everywhere I go. And then I get on TV and watch the news, and they're talking about how there's nothing there.
Man. It just now,
when are people going to wake up? I mean, when are people going to help us get the word out to more people? You know, I mean, the guys that are here with me now, their friends from where they're from in South Florida have been telling them, oh, there's nothing going on. There's nothing happening. It's all been hyped up by the media. And when they went out with me last night and today, they were sick. I mean, just like feeling like they wanted to throw up.
Wow.
You know, and I've been doing it every day for months, you know, and it's sickening that people would just lay back and do nothing. I mean, that's what they've been asking me all day, you know, where's everybody else? You know, what? How come, you know, there's nobody else out here doing this, you know? And I said, you know, I said, everybody's called to a certain thing. You know, I said, I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing. There are people that are supposed to be helping me pass the word around. You know, there's people that are supposed to be helping us promote this and get the word out. You know, I don't expect anybody to be down here doing what I'm doing. But I do expect that if I'm down here doing what I'm doing, that the people that are sitting behind their computers and the people that are sitting in their house, that they could at least just get out there and pass the word around.
Yeah.
You watch my 120 videos on YouTube in less than 3 hours. You know, that'll be the most important 3 hours of your life. You know, you can sit there and watch soap operas. You can sit there and watch reality TV, whatever. But if you sit there and watch what I've videoed for the last 2.5 months, it'll change your life. You know, and that's what people need to get. You know, I mean, see what's really happening down here. And I mean, I've been reporting on here on the beach. I've been reporting from Grand Isle. I've been reporting from Mississippi. I've reported from Alabama, you know, and it ain't about me. It's about trying to show people what's really happening, you know, and I don't get it, you know, why more people. I mean, I got darn near 7,500 people on the True Reporting page. I've got 3,500 personal friends, and you would think with that many people that we could make this thing exponentially blow up and get some kind of real attention, you know, because I'm not about to call the media.
Right.
They're not gonna tell the truth anyway.
Right. They're gonna take everything you say and twist it around to fit their story. You know.
The only hope we have is passing our message and our word out and showing people what's really going on in social media, because mainstream media is going to spin it. You know, I mean, you know, they're being supported by BP. I mean, every other commercial on mainstream media is a BP commercial. You know, I mean, and pretty soon it'll be all political commercials again. You know, I mean, it's like, come on. You know, if you really want to know the truth, you got to be willing to accept that you may be wrong about everything that you've ever known. You know, if you can't be brave enough to admit that and accept that, then, you know, go back to sleep.
You're right.
But I'm fed
up.
I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it. I'm, you know, I mean, I've had 6 hours sleep in the last 2 days. You know, I mean, I'm over it. You know, if you don't want to follow, if you don't want to help, if you don't want to support, then go back to watching TV.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
I mean, there's people that really care that are helping and they're supporting and that are, you know, doing everything they can. I mean, I've got people overseas that are doing more than people in my own hometown. How sick is that? I mean, I got people from the Netherlands that are doing more. You know?
That's disgusting. Because where I came from, it used to not be that way. It used to not be that way, Greg, and you know that too. You know that's true.
People are buying it. They're buying it. They're buying what they're watching on TV. The government has gotten so secure in lying to people and telling them what they want to hear that they can tell you anything they want. They can come out with a blatant lie that you know for a fact is not the truth and tell it to you, and 90% of the people are believing it.
So it's more than that. But, yeah, you're absolutely right.
We got wells leaking all over the Gulf of Mexico. They're not talking about. We've got fish kills all over the Gulf of Mexico. They're not talking about. They just had a big fish kill on the southeast coast of Florida that they're not talking about.
Wait, there was another fish kill in southeast Florida today?
Off of Stewart.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean,
how big was it?
I don't know the numbers. I can say is a charter boat captain reported it. You know, but it's just mind-boggling to me that any conscious human being could allow this to go on without taking part and trying to be a part of the solution. You know, I mean, if you got people that are willing to go out and risk their lives and risk their health and, you know, do whatever it takes to get the word out, then you should be willing to just take a minute to copy and paste something into an email and tell your friends and relatives, you know, hey, look, this really is something that you really need to see. You know, and if they're meant to see it and hear it, they will. If they're not, they're not. You know, but we need to get the word out to people, and people need to know that what they perceive as reality is not reality.
Do you think that, you know, this weekend coming up is the opening of shrimping season in Louisiana, right? That's happening this weekend. They're going to open up the shrimping.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the first boat Monday morning, you know. I mean,
and I
talked to another charter boat captain out of Louisiana this morning, or earlier this evening, rather, and he said, you know, we asked him specifically, what do you think that going to happen the first day of shrimping season? In his words, in Kunas or Cajun language, however you want to say it, they're going to pull up a lot of oil.
Yeah.
He'd been fishing down there for 20 years, you know? I mean, that, and people don't understand. I mean, you got people in the same family. You got brother against brother, father against son, cousin against cousin, because you got people in the same house that one's working in the oil field and the other one's a fisherman. You're going to see something like you ain't never seen since the Civil War. I mean, you're going to see people in their own families fighting each other because one is diametrically opposed to the other.
I see that Emily called in. Let me let her in. Hello, Emily. Emily? Yes, she's just listening.
But
all
it's...
Right.
You know, it's mind-boggling to me that we can have our national media fill in their programs with fluff when we have a real disaster going on down here.
You know what was interesting to me that I saw that they're doing, sending relief to Pakistan for the floods. And I thought, are you effing kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? That this?
No,
is
we're all about helping every other country, you know.
Well, we
but,
can't help
I mean,
ourselves.
It's just like, hey, there's still people down in Louisiana that are suffering from Katrina. There's still people here in in Florida that are suffering from Ivan years ago.
Yeah.
You know, but do they care? No. I mean, the Gulf Coast is the United States' third world country. They don't give a damn about anybody down here. You know? I mean, they'd rather send money to Haiti. They'd rather send money to Pakistan. They, you know, anywhere else. But, no, man, those are a bunch of losers down there on the Gulf Coast, you know?
Do you think when all this oil gets pulled up with the shrimping season being open, do you think that maybe that will bring on some new and some more media coverage that
absolutely absolutely when you got shrimping boats reporting going out and pulling up nothing but oil and dead fish? Yeah, I mean, I talked to a shrimper out in Mississippi because they already opened Mississippi. The guy went out all day long. Normally would pull in like 3,000 pounds of shrimp. He pulled in 3 shrimp.
Wow.
Talk to a crab fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
A crabbing spot that they would normally pull up 75 crabs in an hour. They got 1 crab, and that crab, its lungs were black, and it had little oil modules inside its body. That's reality. That's what's really happening.
To me, it just blows me away. I mean, you and I both know why they're opening the shrimping season in the first place, but
I do. I know exactly why they're doing it. They're doing it because BP is the ones that are running the government.
Right.
Okay? If that's not blatantly obvious to you by now, then you need to hang up the phone and just go to sleep because they have been running the show from the get-go. They're telling the governments to open the fishing seasons because if they open the commercial fishing seasons, then they don't have to pay the claims anymore.
Right.
Hey, fishing season's open. Get your ass out there and fish and catch some fish. Well, guess what? The fish houses aren't buying any Gulf Coast seafood.
Do you think it'll ever get back?
What?
Do you think it'll ever be okay? Ever? In our grandkids' lifetime or great grandkids' lifetime?
I don't know. I mean, you can't even get a real estimate. You can't even get a real number from them of what's actually out there. You know, they won't do the testing for the dispersant. You know, and it's very easy. All you have to do is test for the ingredients that are in the dispersant. You don't have to test for Corexit itself. You can test for arsenic. You know, and it's already been tested that arsenic levels in the Gulf of Mexico are astronomical.
Man, I don't even know what to say.
It's insane. It gets more ridiculous and more insane every single day.
Well, it gets to be
worse. We hear about more fish kills. We hear about more cover-ups. We hear about, you know, more widespread out of our area even. And nobody's saying anything about it.
Wow. Now, Greg, we got a caller on the line. I think they might have a question here.
Go ahead.
Caller from area code 501.
Yes. Hey, Greg, this is Kathy from Arkansas.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm
besides tired. My husband and I were talking, was it last night or today, about the oil that, you know, I was telling him is just right off the shore that's under the sand. Do you think that is going to be when the storm comes, and there will be a hurricane, that's what's going to get sucked up and, you know, plastered all over the coast and brought in and rained down?
You know, but, I mean, you have to understand that as much oil as came out of that well and other wells that are leaking out there, there's an area out there that's called the DeSoto Canyon. That's why it's so deep right there. And because of them spraying the dispersants and everything, you have millions and millions of barrels of oil that are in that canyon. Well, that canyon, you know, I'm trying to describe it in layman's terms. You know, in the water you have things called thermoclines, and what it is different levels of water where you have different water temperatures, and because of the way heat rises, you know, they just keep flip-flopping. Well, they're just going to keep coming up and keep coming up and keep coming up, you know, until it's gone. And the Exxon Valdez wasn't one-tenth of what we've had, and they're still dealing with it 20 years later. So how can they sit there and say that it's over and that, you know, because they've capped the well, you know, it's all done?
Well,
we're
going to
be dealing with this for at least 20 or 30 years.
Well, we know it's not over. We know it's not over. And I was listening to your comments about copying and pasting and sending stuff to your friends, and I've been doing that religiously too. I mean, I've even, you know, been called crazy by my family because they think I'm obsessed over this, but it's just like...
Let them call you crazy.
I do. I finally just said, look, if you don't like what I have to say, just block me, whatever, you know, but I'm going to continue saying it.
I'm going to tell you right now, 90% are going to tell you you're crazy.
Or not
because
come
they
into
don't
my
get
face.
It. They're not conscious people. They don't understand. They don't get it. They don't realize that we've been just sucking the earth dry for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there has to be a time, you know, when people have to make a stand and make a change. And, you know, you have to be willing to accept the ridicule of people. You have to be brave enough to say, you know what, everything I ever thought in my life might not be right.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to just have an open mind and understand that there's got to be a change. And the only way you're going to get it, the only way you're going to get the solution to the problem, the answer to the question, the truth, is to come with an open mind. If you don't, then you're never going to know.
Well, how do you suggest, I mean, you mentioned before, I mean, we've had the acid rain here, we've had all kinds of stuff, and it's kind of like, well, there's been no news coverage of it, obviously, because the news doesn't care. But, I mean, we live, you know, 500 miles away from the coast, what effectively can we really do to...
What we have to use is we have to use the tools at our disposal. You know, we have to use the social media, the YouTube and the Flickr and the Facebook and the Twitter, and because the national media is not going to report those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to, at this point, until we get a larger medium that we can use, we have to pass it on between ourselves and between everybody we know. I mean, I've got things I'm working on. I mean, I've got people that are trying to put together bigger platforms that will get a bigger reach. But at this point, we just have to pass everything that we know on to everyone that we know. I mean, that's all we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I mean, I personally don't even care about contacting the media.
Right.
About anything that I see, because I've had experience in the past couple months where I have told them, and then 3 or 4 weeks later, they decide to cover it. Well, you know what? 3 or 4 weeks later, it's not happening. It's history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kathy, this is Alyssa from Central Arkansas, too.
Yes.
I wanted to tell you that just 2 days ago, I was driving and noticed that a car driving by me through some rainwater, it was raining, that it's soaked up. It had bubbles. And when it was raining in the puddle, you could actually see the bubbles coming out.
Yeah,
so,
that's what it does. I know.
Yep.
And I have my white car, I told my husband, I said, my white car has brown rain spots on it.
Oh.
I mean, it's gross. and I've taken pictures and, you know, I haven't gone to have it tested, but I mean, it doesn't really take a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on. Truly,
I use that quote several times a day.
I know
wait until, you know, you've got some guy with a PhD behind his name before you want to report it, you know, about what's going on. I mean, I grew up here, you know, I'm self-taught primarily, but I've lived here on the coast my entire life, and I know what's right and what's wrong, and I know how things are supposed to be. And my education and my life experience here is worth 20 PhDs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it, you know, I give up on the mainstream media for doing that. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
I think it's a couple years ago. Not years ago, excuse me. About a week or so ago, I guess after they'd capped it, I was watching ABC News with Diane Sawyer. I very rarely watch the news anymore. It was really surreal. It was like, okay, we're going fishing again, the beaches are open, the water's clean, everything's great. It was like, hello?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny, they came out with a story on the mainstream media like the day after, I had an interview with BP representatives that told me that the oil was everywhere. You know, and then last night we're walking the beach and we have a BP worker tell us, yeah, the supervisor just is telling us just to dig a couple inches down, but we dig 5 or 6 inches down and it's everywhere.
And as, now, as, I'm curious, is Pensacola, there was one link where it showed, I guess it was Sarasota, it had all the, parading all those people out on the beach and their bare feet about how great it is in Sarasota. I mean, is Pensacola still, I mean, avidly advertising,
yes,
come on down to
yes,
the beaches? I mean, you know,
yes.
I've had a running war with Alabama Gulf Coast page, and I mean, I'm blocked from their page.
Pensacola is doing the same thing. They're advertising to people all over the country, telling them to come on down. The beach is fine, the water's fine, you know, and people spend thousands of dollars and bring their children down here, and
mm-hmm.
they have no idea what they're getting into.
Well, and I've actually taken to, when I get on the Alabama Gulf Coast page, and I see people, you know, try to ask questions like, hey, you know, what's really going on? I will personally email those people and say, here's a link to this, here's this link, here's that link. I don't know you, you don't know me, but here's what's really going on.
You know, I've got a sore throat, sore lungs, and my nasal cavity hurts from being out on the point at Fort Pickens today and there being like a 100-yard-wide patch of orange sheen on the water. You know, you could smell it. I mean, you could smell it in the air.
Was it the thing in Florida where
like
they said
I'm walking, I'm on foot, I'm barefooted, I got a shovel, that's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
They got helicopters, airplanes, boats, they got thousands of people, they got millions of dollars, and they can't find the oil. But
they don't want to find it. They know it's there, but they're not going to look for it. I mean, you know, really, they're not going to look
just,
for it.
It just makes me livid. I mean,
I'm sure.
You know,
I think there are a lot of I know there are a lot of livid people. Me
but
for one.
I'm out here every day. I'm out here for, you know, walking the beaches for 4, 5, 6 hours every day.
Are you wearing your boots?
I left them in Grand Isle, actually.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Get some more boots.
But it's aggravating, you know. I mean
mm-hmm.
that people don't care. That we're being lied to, that everybody's falling for it, and I'm going out and seeing it with my own eyes, and then I got to turn on the TV and listen to people telling something that I know for a fact is not true.
Mm.
I mean, it'd be like, you know, if you're a total Christian or, you know, a total spiritual person and you believe in God and somebody's standing there and telling you there is no God, the sky's not blue, it's green, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at me in my eye and tell me something is not that I have experienced for my own self and I know is true.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, we got about 1 minute left. I want to say thanks for calling in. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Well, thank you.
And
good luck. Thanks, Greg, for all you're doing.
Thank you. You know, thank all you guys that are helping out. And, you know, I mean, The greatest thing you can do for me is just to pass the word out for people to pay attention and realize what's going on, you know, because this is not even started. It's not even the beginning of what we're going
to do. I wanted to ask you one question was, did you hear about the hundreds of people that have reported as of the past couple of days the oil-related sickness that now in Alabama, 157 Alabama, people reported oil-related sickness.
No, I didn't, but I...
And those numbers will continue to climb. I just want you to watch out for it and take care of yourself and take care of the people around you, you know, make sure everybody's... I know you're risking everything, life and limb, to show everybody, but at the same time, you don't do anything any good if you're in bed.
Thanks, Alyssa.
You're welcome, man, and you have a good night. Everybody else have
All
a
right.
good night, too, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks.
All right, bye.